The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I established my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I established my covenant with you, and never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning is a familiar one. You've all probably heard the story, of course, Jesus revealing that he is divine, he is true God and true man. He walks on water. It's an important story. It's one that is recorded in three of the four Gospels, Mark 6, Matthew 14, and also John chapter 6. And since the account of Jesus walking on the water is so well known, this morning I thought what we would do is take a look at the unique details that are included in Mark, in his account, his Gospel, a few things that only Mark records about that night. So Mark's account begins. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowds. And after taking leave of them, he went up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out of the sea, and he was alone on the land. At this point, Mark's gospel is nearly identical to Matthew's. But then in verse 48, we have a unique detail. Verse 48 says, he, Jesus, saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. So Jesus saw, as he was on the mountain praying, he saw his disciples on the boat in the midst of the sea. That's interesting because according to John's gospel, if we do kind of the calculations there, the boat was 3 to 4 miles away from where Jesus was. And all three gospels tell us that it's the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning there. So in other words, it was dark. So it's 3 or 4 miles away. It's dark. And there's also a great wind and waves, so it's probably storming at the same time. So 3 to 4 miles away, in the dark, in a storm, and Jesus sees them. So what we're talking about here is not 20/20 vision where Jesus just happens to look out and sees them struggling. Jesus, using a supernatural, miraculous, divine sight, sees them, watches them, looks over them. While Jesus was alone on the mountain praying to his Father in heaven, he was able to see exactly what was happening in the dark, 3 or 4 miles away, in the midst of a storm. He saw them. He saw that they were making painful headway, that the wind was beating against them, that it was a struggle. He saw their exhaustion. He saw their worry and their fear. He saw them, and he came to them miraculously, walking on water. And then we have something else that's unique about Mark's account, still in verse 48. At about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and then it says he meant to pass them by, or pass by them. That's strange. He meant to pass by them. So why would Jesus bother to walk all that way on top of the water on a stormy night in the dark just to pass by his disciples? That doesn't sound like the Jesus that we heard about last week, the Jesus of the feeding of the 5,000 who cares and has compassion on them like sheep without a shepherd. Instead, Jesus meant to pass them by. Well, he meant to pass them by in order to get their faith to act. He wanted them to call out to him who is their ever-present help in time of need and trouble. He wanted them to cry out to him and to him alone for help. He wanted them to recognize and trust, as they should have learned in the feeding of the 5,000, that he and he alone is the fountain and source of all gifts, of all protection, of all providence, Jesus. He can and does care. He is the provider. He is their protector. He is their ever-present help in times of trouble. So when Jesus is continuing on then in verse 49, when he walks by them to the sea, they, the disciples, thought it was a ghost. They didn't recognize Jesus. And they cried out. They cried out to Jesus just as he wanted them, but not in the way that he was asking them to or wanting them to. Instead, they cry out in fear. They were terrified. And that brings us then to another unique detail in Mark's gospel. Mark explains that the disciples were terrified because they still didn't get it. They still did not understand about the loaves, it says in verse 52, about what Jesus accomplished there by feeding the 5,000, which they just witnessed and they just came from. He says, but their hearts were hardened in unbelief. They still didn't understand the lesson that Jesus taught them while he was alone, while he alone provided for all of their needs, both big and small. He fed 5,000 plus women and children, leftovers, one basket for each of the disciples. Abundantly he cares, abundantly he provides. But with hardened hearts, unbelief still, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they cried out in fear. It's not for Jesus' help and protection in that time, but fear and terror over seeing a ghost. But once again, what does Jesus do? He shows compassion, generosity, care, and love for his disciples. He didn't just walk by them. Instead, he comforted them with his almighty word. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Fear, dismissed. Fear out. Courage, cheer in. For it is I, it is Jesus. It is I, that is ego e me, written there, that Greek there. It's the very name that God revealed to his people in the Old Testament. Now it is dwelling with them in the person of Jesus Christ. I am your Lord and God, your Savior. I am with you. I am your compassionate, loving, caring God in the flesh, here for you, your provider, your protector, your ever-present help in time of need and trouble. I am God here for you. I am. Wherever you are, I am. Whatever struggle you might be facing, I am. I am with you. I am for you. I am here. And Jesus then, verse 51, got into the boat with them. The wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. When Jesus is in the boat, fear out, courage and comfort in, everything is okay. So it's pretty amazing how these little unique details that we find in Mark's gospel, how tremendously comforting they are, and how they can give us cheer and courage, these little details. First, these little details show us that just as Jesus saw the disciples on that stormy night, he sees you. He sees you when you are making headway painfully, when you are struggling against the wind as it is beating down upon you. He sees you when you are exhausted, when you are worried, when you are afraid. He sees you, and he comes to you. Second, it shows that he invites you to call upon him in faith, now and always. Especially in the worst of situations, when you're tempted to rely upon your own strength and your own ability and your own reason, he wants you to call upon him in that hour of trouble, in that hour of need, and rely upon him and him alone to help you get through it, to be okay. He wants you to recognize that he is the fountain and source of all things, all gifts. He always has been, and he always will be, your provider, your protector, your ever-present help in time of trouble. And third, with Christ for us and with us and in us, as our epistle reading says, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. You have no need to be terrified when you have Jesus. The word, his almighty word, brings you courage even in the hour of darkness, even in the midst of the storm, even when you are making painful headway. God is here, and he is here for you. Your protector, your provider, your ever-present help in time of trouble is none other than God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Jesus gave up his very life for you. He sacrificed himself on the cross for you, to make you his own through the waters of holy baptism. He has forgiven you of all of your sins. He has covered you and cleansed you with his shed blood. You are wrapped in his righteousness, the brightest, most perfect robe of righteousness. He has done all of these things, died, risen for you, ascended into heaven, and rules over all things for your good. He has done all of this not to just leave you and abandon you and watch you squirm in your hour of need. That is not who our God is. You might feel that way. You might feel that way during trials and testing. We all have these, right? We all have these trials and tests. And you might feel as if Christ isn't with you, or that you might see around in the world and you see the blackness and the darkness. You see Christianity being blasphemed and ridiculed by the pagan world. For example, most recently at the Olympics, at the opening ceremony, blaspheming Christ, darkness all around. So you might feel that way, but in fact, if we were to walk by sight and not by faith, there might be times in this life that we just simply aren't able then to walk through, where it feels like it is just simply too dark, that there is no possible way that God can see me, that Jesus can see me in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this struggle, as if God can't see me or help me. That's the temptation that we all have. But no, we walk by faith, not by sight. So even though there are those times, even though we might be making painful headway, the wind is against us, beating upon us, it's darkness all around us, it's the darkest, blackest of night, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you do know and you trust that He sees you. He is watching you. He is looking after you. And in His eyes, you are His precious, redeemed child. And He sees you through the lens of Jesus Christ, now as His perfect, righteous, holy child, through Jesus Christ. So Jesus has done it all. And because of Jesus, then, He has given you this courage, this comfort, and this cheer, and faith in Him. So even in the midst of the most painful struggle, or the rowing against the darkest, stormiest of nights, Jesus is there with you. Take heart. Do not be afraid. It is I. Dear children of God, Jesus sees you. He sees you. He hears you. He answers your prayers. He comes to you through His word and through His sacrament to forgive you all of your sins and strengthen you to keep going. Jesus is with you. He is with you in the boat. And when Jesus is in the boat, everything is going to be okay. Take comfort. Be of good cheer. Have courage, be strengthened, have faith in the word that He speaks to you, just as He spoke to His disciples. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.